Murder by Experts. Good evening, friends. This is your host of the Inner Sanctum, welcoming you to another half hour of mystery and terror, guaranteed to take 10 years off your life. Don't just stand there. Come on in. We've been fixing up the place, making it more homey. Yes, you see that beam over there with the rope hanging down? You just stand on the table, put your head through the noose, and, that's right. It's for the convenience of anyone who feels like hanging around after the broadcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, spontaneous as ever, Information Please continues on its carefree path. And tonight, our experts are...
J.D. Chandler.
J.B. Fisher.
Louis Armstrong.
Teresa Kennedy Dupay.
I'm Don Dupay.
Poetry Sherelle.
And?
Special guest star.
Hello, darlings. This is Groucho Marx.
Tonight,
Dark River.
Part 5, The Scandal.
On Murder by Experts.
Murder by Experts.
Brought to you by...
Peace, it's what everyone wants.
Peace, it's what everyone wants.
Choose peace.
War is over if you want it.
A hot August night, 1929. Trouble runs through Anna's mind. All the lies he told her. The promises he didn't keep. Now he'll know what pain is and how it holds her. She doesn't mean to shoot him. The bullet is hers alone. And now his car approaches, and it's done. Woman's bullets miss policemen. That's what the Oregonian said. W.H. Bruning, victor in sidewalk scuffle. It was the biggest scandal to hit Portland since the war. We'll be right back to tell you more about it after this message.
Thank you.
Let's give this program a little class. Before you introduce the next number, let's have a commercial.
All right, commercial.
This program is brought to you by the Plebo Company. For more than two generations, the public has been taking Plebo. And for more than two generations, the Plebo Company has been taking the public. Recently conducted laboratory tests prove that more doctors are conducting laboratory tests than treating patients. Exhausted scientists have proved that 4 out of 5 is 80%.
That's right, Groucho. And science also proves that 80% of the people who listen to Murder by Experts love the show, but haven't made a pledge to support it yet. So if you're one of those, come on down to www.patreon.com/JDChandler and make a pledge to help keep the show on the air. All it takes is $1, and that gives you first look. You get the program 24 hours before anybody else gets it. You can pledge higher than that and get different rewards, but do what you can. It doesn't take very much, and it really makes a difference to us. Now, for a limited time, when you subscribe to Murder by Experts, you'll also get first look at the Slabtown Chronicle blog, Weird Portland blog, and about one film a month from the Film Conspiracy. Thanks to freesfx.co.uk for the wonderful sound effects tonight. Also, thanks to a lifetime of old radio collecting for the unique sounds and the listening experience that we bring you here on Murder by Experts. Thanks to Fred Stewart, super sponsor, and all of the first lookers and patrons down at patreon.com. That's www.patreon.com/JDChandler. And now, back to the show. If you're offended by the F word, you should stop listening now. Sorry, kids. Listen when you're older.
Anyone falling asleep during the show will be thrown out of there.
Teresa has got to be the leading expert on Anna Schrader in the world.
Well, tell her, ask her what she thinks of my theory.
I heard of Anna Schrader's from 1910, and it's cross-listed or cross-referenced with an Anna Tierney. Anna Tierney, that was her maiden name, but there's also another name, Anna Farney. And I also found out on one of the census records that her first marriage was when she was 18. And that would have been when she lived in Minnesota. So my feeling is she came to Oregon in 1910 to escape a bad marriage, perhaps.
So her first marriage was about 19.
She lied about her age. She said she was 38 in 1929. She was actually in her 40s. And she also lied about her age on this one census record. And I know that it's her because Anna Tierney and Anna Farney are cross-referenced. And one of the lodges she lived with is Edward Schrader.
That's interesting.
And this was over in Northwest Portland on Kearney Street. But I have a feeling that she was a woman who felt very insecure about her place in the world. I think she felt insecure about the fact that she had not received any formal schooling. And but she was very smart. And another respect, she was also incredibly naive. But the problems that she started causing, that all happened after the affair ended with William Bruning. You know, she was his informant and the, quote, private detective from probably starting in the early 20s until the affair ended in 29. They met in 1916. William Bruning claims that he met her in 1916, and they knew each other for 5 or 6 years before they actually began the affair, which she claims started in September of 1921. And she says that he pursued her, and of course, he claimed that she was the aggressor.
Sure.
Yeah.
Exactly. So she was a confidential informant for him.
Yes. I think he got her that little job just to keep her busy because from what I've read, it's really clear that she wanted more than he was willing to give and she wanted him to leave his wife. The problem was his wife, Blanche King, former Miss Blanche King, you know, they had 2 children together. He's not going to leave his wife and his 2 young children for some woman that's been married twice already. You know, so.
And so, the informant part is just smoke. Girlfriend is what she was.
Yeah.
Informant is what they called her. Because that keeps the boss off your ass.
Right.
I had several informants during my time as a police officer and detective, and sometimes they were less than informants and more girlfriends.
Okay, that's good to know.
So, an informant...
Do we know how they met?
She was... I've heard two different stories. I've heard that she was running for the Rose Festival Queen or in that, but then I also heard she was involved in some kind of a contest for the Fire Queen, for some kind of Fire Festival Queen.
She was trying to get attention. It seemed like that was her big thing, is because she had her big swimming event that year too.
Yeah, I remember that.
I think it was 1916?
Yes, it was. It was 1916.
Because it was the Polar Bear Club, right?
It was in December.
Right, and they all went swimming in the river. They all said they were going to go swimming in the river, but nobody showed up.
Right.
Except her.
And that says something about her.
Yeah.
She was a determined woman.
Yeah.
She had a lot of fire. She was fighting.
Well, I think that she probably had friends in the fire department, obviously, before she glommed on to the police department. So she was... Looks to me like she was a seeker of people with the uniforms and badges and a little more money than she was used to. She was looking for the glamour, I think. The glamour of the uniform. I could be the princess. I could be from the fire department. I think that's Anna Schrader kind of in a nutshell.
Yeah. Exactly. I think she was in love with the macho image.
Yeah.
I think she was in love with the uniform.
Sure.
There's something about a hired gun.
Anna Schrader strikes me as an alpha female, and she was looking for an alpha male. She was definitely a social climber, because she talks repeatedly about how her husband is the best man in the world, you know, the finest man in the world, and she uses a lot of really extreme language, kind of immature, very, very teenager-like language. She uses makes a lot of declarative sentences about things, and she sounds very, very young and very kind of like a teenager.
Naive.
Yeah, and she was a really sharp dresser. She had a lot of really fine clothes and shoes. Things like when she was assaulted by Bruning, going and getting an X-ray at the Davies photography studio. You know, so she could prove her case, which she sued him and eventually won.
I'll accept it. Now, would you care to be a little more suggestive?
Somehow, Bruning maybe told his wife, maybe Anna told Bruning's wife.
This is my theory. Anna gave this woman enough inside informational hints to let her know for sure that it could only be someone who was intimate with her husband that could know these things. Okay, and so therefore, she knew, without Anna really telling her, that he did have an affair. So then he couldn't deny it and had to tell her because he couldn't deny it, because only someone who had been intimate with him could know these things.
Right.
Okay, so then his wife said, you cannot prove to me that you're never going to be with her again.
Yeah.
So then he had to do something. So was it...
So he probably did just cut her off.
Cut her off? That would be the worst thing that you could do to somebody who is in love with you.
Well, but she's...
Because then she's pissed.
She's pissed.
Very pissed.
She's
done. I mean, not pissed beyond...
Not yet. She's pissed, but she's not there yet. She's still doing her job.
She's pissed.
She's angry, definitely angry.
Oh, she's pissed.
But she's getting on with her life until they start to spread rumors about her among the other cops.
That's because he wanted her out.
Bruning and his wife had a meeting with Chief Jenkins, and nobody knows what they said to him about Anna Schrader. But she is convinced that they told lies about her, and that they need to, all three...
They pow out.
they
pow out on how to get rid of her.
Yeah. And she says that we all three need to sit down and I need to tell the chief the truth.
Oh, and no. Is she crazy?
Everybody thinks she is.
Okay.
So they get she gets together with Bruning. He probably agreed to meet her on the sly. And I think that they did it in his car. I think they drove around.
That makes sense.
and she ends up all bruised, her shoulders all bruised. He says that she had a fit and he had to hold her down. Whatever that means. He beat her. He beat her up. And she scheduled a meeting with the chief for the two of them to sit down and tell him the truth. And so what does Bruning do? Instead of going to the meeting, he takes his wife to the baseball game.
Of course. Wouldn't you?
And so she... Now, for some reason, his wife's
because
not with him.
He never agreed to it. Yeah. He never agreed to the meeting.
But the next night, she's sitting in front of his house with a gun.
With a gun.
Because he's going to meet with the chief and tell the chief the fucking truth.
Oh, wow. She's really pissed.
Yeah. She says that she borrowed the gun from another cop. And the cop said he thought she was going out on a dangerous job and just needed a weapon.
Right.
And she says that the only reason she took it is so he wouldn't beat her again.
No, that's not true.
Because it makes sense to me that she went there to kill herself.
She did.
Yeah.
She went there to show... She didn't go there to kill herself. She went there to show them how much pain she was in. Okay? And that was her way of demonstrating it. But she wanted to let him know that she was going to do it in front of him and his wife on the front lawn. Okay? And he tackled her and took the gun away.
Yeah. Now, he says... that she pulled the gun on him, he took it away from her, subdued her, and handcuffed her. She says she had the gun to protect herself, he attacked her, she fired two shots, he threw her to the ground and jumped on her with both knees and cracked her ribs.
That's not, neither of those situations happened.
I know, exactly.
Okay, so here's what happened. He pulled up, she was waiting outside of the house for him.
Yes.
And when he got out of the car, she was going to confront him.
Yes.
Okay.
Why didn't you come to the meeting with the chief?
He stopped the car. She got out of her car. She started walking towards his car. He gets out of the car. There's a confrontation. She tells him that she has a gun and she's going to kill herself. He tackles her, takes a gun away from her.
Baby. Also, the other thing contributing to this... is Leon Jenkins, who is the police chief, from some of the things that she says, I think that she kind of saw him as a father figure, who she came to absolutely hate him. And when he turned on her, she felt really betrayed by that. And she really personally went after him.
She has no business feeling betrayed.
Yeah, well, that's beside the point. Chief of
Well,
police.
Now she knows how everybody else felt.
Exactly.
Was working with the police.
Yes.
She was setting people up and busting them.
Yeah.
Then she turned traitor.
Yeah.
And she started busting the police.
Yeah.
And letting everyone in on the secrets of how these things are done.
Yes. Exactly. No, but it's total
the
bullshit.
The police killed her.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I mean, she's a no good fucking rat. I mean, she lured people at the speakeasies, and she befriended them with her fancy fucking clothes and her fucking attitude. She made people think that she was their friend, then she turned them in and busted them. Then, when that didn't, you know, then when this other shit happened, you know, she turned around and she busted the fucking police department. I mean, this woman cannot be trusted. She's no fucking damn good. She's just a fucking rat. You say she stopped talking in 34.
Right.
What do you mean by that? What, was she continually talking all the way up to 1934? What do you mean by that?
So she fought this court case from 1930 to about 1933. She's in court on this deal.
Okay.
But at the same time, she's remaining really politically active. In 1930, she is a part of the recall committee to recall Mayor Baker and three of the city councilors. And so she's making appearances around town, making political speeches.
In what year is this?
1930. Okay. So a year after the scandal. So she's making public appearances, speeches. She's involved in the recall effort in 1932. She runs for mayor in 1932. She's making radio addresses, but she makes and she testifies in front of grand juries. And what she's talking about is police corruption and corruption in the city government. She knows all about the liquor. She knows about how the police are involved in selling illegal liquor. She probably knows about murders that have been frame-ups, because she says that she knows how. She says, "I know how frame-ups work." She knows what the police have been doing because she's been doing it. No court. Well, all along, also, she's had a bullet shot through her window.
Absolutely. That's what happened.
She's had bricks thrown through her window and through a friend's window.
They're doing it. No, they
her are. Car has been hit by other cars 3 or 4 times. And her biggest enemy in the police department is Captain Frank Irvin, who's head of the traffic squad. And then, in 1934, no more public appearances. The mystery is this.
Killed her.
The mystery is this. And for the next 11, 12 years, she doesn't say
anything.
Well,
she was threatened.
She's not a bribable person. She's a trouble-causing person. I'm not going to be quiet unless I want to be quiet.
I think that she kept her mouth shut because she was afraid.
There's two things that would threaten this woman. The threat of her past coming back.
Yeah.
And two is the harm of somebody that, you know, was innocent. She wasn't nuts. She was having a breakdown because this guy made promises to her that he didn't deliver on. He used her and he convinced her to do shit that she didn't want to do, and she ended up like getting like fucked over by this guy.
Yeah.
She was pretty smart. And she knew how they operated.
Yeah.
You know, like she learned from them.
Yeah.
Everybody else.
Yeah.
And then in the end, she ended up losing because of something in her past.
Yeah.
Possible. I mean, the possibility of her having been having a child out of wedlock.
Yeah.
I mean, that was such a shame.
Sure.
Back then. You know.
Or if she'd had an affair in her first marriage and had a child from that.
Oh God! And then expose that. Yeah. And then, and she probably wouldn't care as much about for herself, but more for the child and her family.
That's a very interesting theory. If this was a drama, that would be the perfect way to explain it.
On Murder by Experts.
Murder by Experts.
Brought to you by
Peace! It's what everyone wants!
It's about family.
I know this smile I'm wearing can't conceal the intensity
and coming home
of all the closeness and resentment.
Pandora's Box.
An explosive musical.
You know what you're gonna find down there. Don't go in the basement. You don't know what you're gonna find down there. And for my peace of mind.
Coming soon.
I did demolition in the army, and I knew a lot of mud. Some of my souvenirs are toxic. Some of that might explode.
History isn't free!
Ladies and gentlemen, everywhere in America, history is under attack.
History has to be as accurate as you can make it, so you need a number of versions of it so that people can understand it in like a, you know, in a holistic way.
History isn't free.
Support your local historian.
Support your local historian.
Support your local historian.
www.patreon.com/JDChandler. It doesn't take very much, and it really makes a difference to us. That's www.patreon.com/JDChandler. This is the Peace and Love Network.
Next on Murder by Experts.
Dead are on the air tonight. Can you hear us? Hello, can you hear us? It is 1 minute past time. It is quiet here, facing the night. The dust is falling, with no colors whatever and no sense to anything. We arrived in heavy traffic, converging from the Earth's four corners, and entered the infinite dimension as the blue enters the night. Can anyone hear us? We found no Halloween world with lean shapes and lantern faces, no Tartarus nor Ultima Thule. We found no evergreen land at the rainbow's end. No mead and manna and broiled quail on wing to eat, and angel girls to lay, no wailing by the Stygian shore nor singing in the stars. Nothing to compensate the meek or level the proud, to reward the good or punish the evil, to enrich the disinherited or impoverish the landlords of the earth. We found nothing. No one. Nowhere. Because the way it happened was, suddenly we reached an immense edge.
Murder by Experts.
Murder by Experts.